The question is, are you thrilled the Steelers didn't take him? That they passed on him the three times? That they did not take him in the sixth round or fifth round? Instead, they went with Waya Black and Will Howard, even though by that point, Shedeur Sanders was off the board. But you have, obviously, more opinions on this fifth-round pick than any fifth-round pick in NFL history. Fanatics just released a report that his jersey is the top-selling jersey in the NFL right now. So there are Shedeur Sanders fans out there. I think our fans, it seemed, were pretty split before the draft. Now, you know, I'll speak for myself here. Like, I'm happy that they avoided this circus, that they decided to not indulge it and sign up for it. Because it's already, I think, there's just a lot of things with Sanders that make me think, as crazy as this sounds, because his dad was a great football player, but it just doesn't seem, Chris, like he's got like the right mindset to make himself into a great player.
I mean, I don't know why. You know what's weird about this? I was trying to think about it. Yeah, the mindset doesn't seem great. Like, I read a couple deep dives that aren't like character assassination pieces. They're just like,
Cam Newton said the facial expressions were not that of a franchise quarterback.
Which is funny given like the criticism Cam Newton always got in his career, despite actually winning an MVP and getting to
Super
Bowl.
Yes, and not falling on a fumble in the Super Bowl, but continue.
I think the thing that's like interesting to me is like you read these deep dives and they don't read like character assassinations, just like matter of fact appraisals of how he handled himself and how Deion was not getting good advice and how he probably should have hired an agent. And like, it's weird because of this. Maybe it's because he actually played on a pretty big stage, you know, in a power conference for a team that because his dad coached, it was noteworthy. Think back to Michael Jordan in basketball. What were his kids? Marcus and Jeff Jordan, I think.
They played at UCF,
right. Yep. No one just assumed that because they were Michael Jordan's kids, well, they're going to be unbelievable. Bronny James, like, we kind of all laughed at him going into the NBA draft and getting picked in the second round. Mm-hmm. But he's sitting there in the G League trying to actually prove that he belongs even as like an end-of-the-bench guy in the NBA.
Well, the irony of what you're saying, though, is that the guy that Steelers fans want them to tank for is a Nepo
I understand kid. That, but there's like much larger, you know, track record of Mannings being good quarterbacks. Two of the Mannings account for four Super Bowls that have been won.
Well, right, but Arch Manning hasn't done anything
Arch
yet.
Manning is also like a guy that I think if you asked a lot of Texas fans last year, did Sark screw something up even though they got to the playoff, they would have said
yes. I guess,
yes,
but they're basing it on what the guy did against Mississippi
that.
State, Louisiana Monroe,
Texas
San Antonio.
High school rankings are not like the be-all, end-all, and I'm getting away from my original point, but I'll just say this. Shedeur was, I think, ranked the 37th or 39th quarterback in his class. Arch Manning was ranked, what, number one? Top five.
I mean, he played
sure.
in a very small conference, but okay.
He played in the same school his uncle played at, or uncles, right? Didn't they both play for that Newman whatever?
Newman Goretti?
No, that's in Philly. You know what I'm talking
about. The Newman Center, that was the church we went to.
No, it was maybe a St. John Newman. Anyway, getting away from my point, I just think it's funny that the assumption was made in some corners, not all, or even not in scouting corners, but in the media, that this kid was going to be great, like a surefire slam dunk. No one said that about Jordan's kids. We all kind of, I think, even in the media, cast a very skeptical eye to Bronny James, like he doesn't check this box or that box.
Well, but the
and
big
yet,
difference
and yet
there...
And yet Shedeur Sanders got, like, greenlit by sections of the media as this guy's a can't-miss player.
But okay, but Bronny James averaged, like, 3 points a game at USC.
No, I understand
Shedeur
put up real numbers.
And Sanders was a 70% passer and was one of the leading passers in college football this year.
But we also all know, as people who follow the draft pretty keenly every year and follow football more keenly than any other sport, that just because you have good college numbers does not even remotely guarantee that you are going to be seen as a good pro prospect.
Right, and I think he fits the bill of a guy that, from a body type standpoint, is more of a great college quarterback and not great NFL quarterback. There are plenty of guys that were, you know, either too small, too slow, arm strength wasn't good enough, who excelled in college and couldn't do crap in the NFL, so you're right about that. And many of those guys who kind of fit that description were more late round flyers than they were early round picks. I just, even the way this whole thing with the Falcons coach's kid and this prank call has been covered and talked about and examined, and everything about this, discussion about like what should happen to the kid, what should happen to the Falcons, what should happen to the coach there. I go back to the idea that when you're dealing with someone who is not necessarily going to be your franchise quarterback or your best player, it just seems like a lot to deal with. And Tomlin can say all he wants about how he's built different and how he's well compensated and all those things. I don't think that he's done an adept job of handling like distractions and things like that that go on with his team. They happen every year, and they're happening now more and more in years where the team doesn't meet expectations. Absolutely, when it happens that often, think that there's a correlation between those two things.
I don't know why his handling of George Pickens would make anybody confident that he was going to handle Shedeur Sanders or Deion by extension well. Like, I don't know why you would give him the benefit of the doubt. He gets that, like, blanket benefit of the doubt in the national media, and it's like they don't watch closely enough to see what happens, or they twist themselves into knots and say, well, he got the most out of AB, and boy, I bet George Pickens would be really acting out for another coach. He's acting out here. I wanted them to take Sanders at 83. I wanted them to take him at 123. Those are the two picks they could have had him before he actually got picked. I think Caleb Johnson could end up being a solid player. I think Sawyer could end up being really good, depending on like how much usage he gets. It is, I will say for my own part, like strictly, I know we did the big thing yesterday, where it was me saying I want what's good for business and Shedeur would have been great for business. Taking that completely out of the equation, the longer and further he fell in this draft, the less I wanted them to pick him, because it was obvious teams were making the same value judgment you just brought up. If he's picked in a place that makes it look like he'll be the backup, why would you want to deal with just the everything that comes with him, that you know comes with him? Yes, you put him in an NFL locker room. Some of that has to go away just by nature. But are he and his family, his dad, any of his siblings going to be silent if they think like he's outplaying somebody? You know what's going to happen in Brown's minicamp, right? If he's spinning it and Kenny Pickett looks like he's not, oh, Shedeur Sanders, he looks like he's at worst QB3. He's outplaying Dylan Gabriel. Gabriel looks like he doesn't belong in an NFL camp.
Oh, they put a big microscope on themselves the whole season by taking him.
Any whatever team did take him was going to do that.
Yep.
And the funnier part is, I think the microscope's bigger because of where they took him in the draft. If he's a first-round pick, whether people believe he deserved to be one or not, you're always going to have the microscope. You're the first round pick, or one of them for your team, right? You're in the fifth round picking this guy, and you know he's going to be the single most scrutinized player in the class? The most followed player?
There's going to be more questions asked about Sanders than about Cam Ward, who went with the first
pick. By far.
Like, you, Stefanski's going to have to deal with that more than Callahan is in Tennessee.
Callahan's just going to get like, hey, how's Cam doing? How's he progressing? Stefanski's going to have a whole different set of questions. To go back to what you said about the prank call, Ulbrich's gotten the big fine, personal fine. The team's gotten the fine. He said he's been very penitent. Like, the kid is, I'm sure you're never going to hear Jax Ulbrich's name again. Abdul Carter got prank called.
Yep.
Third overall pick in the draft.
So did Tyler Warren. Mason Graham.
But like, because, and who knows, maybe the Abdul Carter prank calls were just as like mean-spirited, or like
they probably were. The Mason Graham video around that I saw going around, like somebody prank called him and said, I think you're getting drafted by the Giants, and he got excited and they said, oh wait, no you're not, because you effing stink, or something like that, and hung up on him. So it's not like Shedeur Sanders was singled out here. This is something that's apparently been happening for a few years. It happened throughout the draft, but we just hear about Sanders.
You're only
hearing
about his, and you're only hearing from the media, it seems. And this is partly because the people who decide what people want to hear talked about don't think that people care that Mason Graham got a prank call, or even Abdul Carter. Those people, you're hearing it from the media, like it's this miscarriage of justice against Shedeur. I think it's a stupid thing for the kid to have done, this Jax Ulbrich goofball. I think any of these guys making prank calls are big loser energy, but only one person appears to be the victim here, who was done incredibly wrong. Like, nah, it sucks for Abdul Carter and Mason Graham, even though they both got picked in the top five. Just because Shedeur Sanders got picked at 144 doesn't mean like it sucks more for him than those guys.
I think we have how many phone lines? 12? 10? What's the number?
Eight, actually.
We have eight.
Then there's just four that sit there. Well, I guess those are the ones we use.
Can we find eight people out there who think the Steelers made a colossal mistake in passing on Shedeur Sanders? That when it's all said and done, not taking this guy and taking another running back and taking an edge rusher when you already have Highsmith and Watt, that mistake is going to come back to bite them, and it's going to be made even worse because the Browns took him. And he's going to haunt the Browns the same way Roethlisberger haunted the Browns for taking Kellen Winslow over him. Are there actually Steelers fans out there? Can we find eight in the next 5 minutes who actually are looking back on this draft and saying they blew it? They could have had this quarterback who got disrespected and slagged because of the way he interviewed, not because of the way he played, because of who his dad is. And if the Steelers had taken him, they would have their franchise quarterback, and they would have had an all-time deal on him in the third or fourth round. 412-928-9370. That's 412-928-9370. Hopefully everybody out there is listening, who's listening today, is okay. After the storms that whipped through while we were on the air yesterday, I saw that an institution in Pittsburgh, Fiore's Pizzeria, had its roof blown off.
Brutal.
But the picture made it look like they could almost stay open because there were...
There was a subroof there?
Yeah, is that crazy? My dad used to do a lot of roofing stuff.
I
worked at a company where we would do truss supports and things of that nature.
Oh, truss supports. Big truss.
Yeah, I worked in the warehouse there.
Blue collar as it gets. I think the problem with that is there's no, obviously, like shingles on the roof or anything. There's no actual roof, so all that wood or whatever.
So indefinitely
there,
a Pittsburgh institution is closed?
Well, I would just think that if it rains again, like say tomorrow, you don't want that wood getting wet.
Well, how do they keep, so what do they do now? Put a giant tarp on it?
Build that Chernobyl thing that keeps that big steel sarcophagus that keeps Chernobyl
from getting out? Yeah, but that's not realistic right now. Like, what do they do for the time being?
Could you just put a giant ass tent up around it? That just makes sure the water slopes off.
You're not getting it. Where are you finding a tent that big?
That's my point. I think they probably have to quickly
so they're
get
screwed.
The roof done. Yeah.
Wow.
I know of a roofing company that does excellent work.
Oh, is that right?
I do.
I think you're going to be talking about them at 325.
20 minutes or so, yeah.
Business might be booming for them. All right. 412-928-9370. I do want to hear from the people on the Shedeur Sanders situation. I do think it's BS that the dad got fined, that Ulbrich got fined $100,000 for this. I really do.
You think they should have just fined the kid directly, his son? I keep calling him a kid. He's 21.
I don't think anybody should have been fined. I think the NFL like talks to the Falcons and talks to Jeff Ulbrich, and they get to the bottom of like how the information got shared.
I think he's getting fined and they're getting fined differently than obviously the people who prank called Abdul Carter, because no one knows who those people are.
Well, right, they're not NFL
because
employees.
It's another team on draft pick kind of like violence, so to speak.
But it's not someone who works for the team. Like, just, we kind of did this yesterday talking about Will Howard.
Did they find the Chiefs for Reed's idiot kid? Well, that was different because he was drinking. He was admitting to drinking
like,
on the job,
let's
actually.
Let's say Jeff Ulbrich's, you know, nephew did this. Would he get fined for that? Like, technically, it's still someone who's related to him.
Now it's we've got the companion question: do you root for this team if one of your relatives is?
That's
on
what
it?
I'm saying. Like,
do you find this
like,
man?
Where I get the responsibility clause being put into effect here because it's the man's son. But if he had been sloppy with the information and like a neighbor got it, would he be getting fined $100,000 and the Falcons are getting fined $250,000 for it?
No, I think because if it's out of the family, even if it's the neighbor,
but it's still a security breach.
Yeah, I don't think, my personal opinion is they would not be fining.